chapter 36. At the invitation of all the curates to establish temperance societies among their people, I had the sad opportunity, as no priest ever had in Canada, to know the secret and public scandals of each parish. When I went to the Iwilumans on the north side of the river, invited by the Reverend Noel to signal, I learned from the very lips of that young priest and the ex-priest Tetro the history of a most shameful scandal. In 1830, a young priest of Quebec called Derome had fallen in love with one of his young female penitents of Recherche, where he had preached a few days. He had persuaded her to follow him to the parsonage of Quebec. To better conceal their iniquity from the public, he persuaded his victim to dress herself as a young man and throw her dress in the river to make her parents and the whole parish believe that she was drowned. I had seen her many times at the parsonage of Quebec under the name of Joseph, and had much admired her refined manners, though more than once I was very much inclined to think that the smart Joseph was no one else than a lost girl. But the respect I had for the curate of Quebec, who was the coadjutor of the bishop, and his young vicars, caused me to reject these suspicions. Things went on pretty smoothly between Joseph and the priest for several years, till some suspicions arose in the minds of the sharp-sighted people of the parish, who told the curate that it would be safer and more honorable for him to get rid of his servant, in order to put an end to those suspicions and to retain him in the parsonage. The curate persuaded him to marry the daughter of a poor neighbor. The two girls were duly married by the curate, who continued his criminal intimacies, in the hope that no one would trouble him any more on the subject. But not long after he was removed to La Petite Riviere in 1838, the Reverend Mr. Tetreault was appointed curate. This new priest, knowing nothing of the abominations which his predecessor had practiced, continued to employ Joseph. One day, when Joseph was working at the gate of the parsonage, in the presence of several people, a stranger came and asked him if Mr. Tetreault was at home. "Yes, sir, Mr. Curate is at home," answered Joseph. "But as you seem a stranger to the place, would you allow me to ask you from what parish you come?" "I'm not ashamed of my parish," answered the stranger. "I come from Verchères." At the word Verchères, Joseph turned so pale that the stranger was puzzled. He looked carefully at him and exclaimed, "Oh, my God, what do I see here? Genevieve! Genevieve! Over whom we have mourned so long is drowned. Have you? Here you are disguised as a man." "Dear uncle," it was her uncle, "for God's sake, not a word more here." But it was too late. The people who were there had heard the uncle and the niece. Their long and secret suspicions were well founded. One of their former priests had kept a girl under the disguise of a man in his house, and to blind his people more thoroughly, he had married that girl to another, in order to have them both in his house when he pleased, without awakening any suspicions. The news went almost as quickly as lightning from one end to the other of the parish, and spread all over the country, on both sides of the St. Lawrence. I had heard of that horror, but could not believe it. However, I had to believe it when, on the spot, I heard from the lips of the ex-curate, Miss M. Titro, and the new curate, M. Noel Tussignol, and from the lips of the landlord, the Honorable Lettier the following details which had come to light only a short time before. The justice of the peace had investigated the matter in the name of public morality. Joseph was brought before the magistrates, who decided that a physician should be charged to make not a post-mortem, but an ante-mortem inquest. The Honorable Lattifere, who made the inquest, declared that Joseph was a girl, and the bonds of marriage were legally dissolved. The bishop and his vicars immediately sent a trustworthy man with $2,000 to induce the girl to leave the country without delay. She accepted the offer and crossed to the United States, where she was soon married and where she still lives. I wish that this story had never been told me, or at least that I might be allowed to doubt some of the circumstances, but there was no help. I was forced to acknowledge that in my Church of Rome there was such corruption from head to foot, which could scarcely be surpassed in Sodom. I remember that the Reverend Mr. Perez had told me of the tears and desolation of Bishop Plessis when he had discovered that all the priests of Canada, with the exception of three, were atheists. But the abominations of which Joseph was a victim seemed to overstep the conceivable limits of infamy. For the first time, I sincerely regretted that I was a priest. The priesthood of Rome seemed then to me the very fulfillment of the prophecy of Revelation about the great prostitute who made the nations drunk with the wine of her prostitutions, Revelation 17:1-5. The auricular confession, which I knew to be the cause of these abominations, appeared to me what it really is, a school of perdition for the priest and his female penitents. The priest's oath of celibacy was to my eyes in those hours of distress but a shameful mask to conceal a corruption which was unknown in the most depraved days of old paganism. I still believed there was no salvation outside the Church of Rome, but my soul was filled with trouble and anxiety. I not only distrusted myself, but I lost confidence in the rest of the priests and bishops. To whatever side I turned my eyes, I saw nothing but the most seducing examples of perversion. I wished to depart from this deceitful and lost world. The Reverend Mr. Guignes, superior of the monastery of the Fathers of Oblates of Mary Immaculate at Longueuil near Montreal, came to pass a few days with me for the benefit of his health. I confessed my fears to him. The Reverend Superior answered me, "I understand your fears perfectly. They are legitimate and too well founded. I know the formidable dangers which surround the priest. I have not dared to be a secular priest a single day. I knew the humiliating and disgraceful history of Joseph. Nay, I know many things still more horrible and unspeakable, which I have learned when preaching and hearing confessions in France and in Canada. The fact is that it is morally impossible for a secular priest to keep his vows of celibacy except by a miracle of the grace of God. Our Holy Church would be a modern Sodom long ago had not our merciful God granted her grace through the many priests who have always enrolled themselves in the different religious orders. Only the priests whom God calls in his mercy to become members of these orders are safe, for they are under the paternal care and surveillance of superiors, whose zeal and charity are like a shield to protect them. Their holy and strict laws are like strong walls and high towers which the enemy cannot storm." The last Sabbath of September, I gave my farewell address to my dear parish to go to Longueuil and become a novice of the Oblates of Mary Immaculate.